Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
We're reading from Acts 2 today. Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of his apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" And Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself." And with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, "Save yourselves from this crooked generation." So those who received his words were baptized, and they were added that day about 3,000 souls. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved.
Thank you so much, God, for your presence here today. Lord, we ask that as we delve into your word and your desire for us as a spiritual family, as a church, as a people, Lord God, even for those who are here and visiting with us today, I pray, God, that you would come and speak to us with regards to where we are right now and that we would hear directly from your throne today in Jesus' name. And everyone shouted amen. Good morning, everybody. My name is Nelly. For those of you who don't know me, I'm the senior pastor here at Every Nation Brisbane. And for those of you who are here for the first time, I met some people who are here for the first time. We welcome you here. Can we give it up one more time for our guests? You're welcome anytime to join us. The title of my message today is, "Where is your house?" Where is your house? Have you ever been in a situation where you've tried to figure out how to get home? I've been in that sort of situation before. I wanted to just review today all that we've been going through because we're in this series called Into the Horizon. And as we're talking about Into the Horizon, we're looking at where we as a church are going and where the horizon lies for us. And so we'll start with our vision mission statement. It says here, "Every nation is a part of the Every Nation family of churches and ministries that exist to honor God by establishing Christ-centered, spirit-empowered, and socially responsible churches and campus ministries in every nation." So how good was it to hear from our spiritual family in Fiji and just the exciting things that are happening there? Glory to God. That's a part of your spiritual family. And God's moving in over in 80 nations now. We're in 80 nations currently, and we're in over 600 churches, and that's a representation of your spiritual family. So it's good to know that. We're going through our values. These are our values. We've touched on worship. We've talked about outreach, which covers evangelism. It also covers the compassion and being able to live missionally. We talked about discipleship and God's desire for us to be disciples and make disciples. And last week we talked about family, and I'm going to continue on talking about family today. And when we talk about family here at Every Nation Brisbane, we're talking about, of course, your own family. So we believe that God wants to build strong marriages. God wants to build a strong parenting environments for children to be raised up in the values of God. But also, we congregate around being spiritual family. So here's what we state with regards to family. It says here, "We will not place our families and marriages on the altar of ministry." As I said last week, this was one of the statements that drew me to this movement, is because I grew up as a pastor's kid, and I know how busy it can be growing up in that sort of environment to let ministry get on top of your family. But how many of you know the strength of your family should dictate the pace in terms of the strength of your ministry? We also see the church as a spiritual family, a community of faith that Jesus laid down his life for because he loves us so much. So when we talk about our families, we're talking about our husbands and wives. How many of you are here are married? Let me tell you something. You know, even for those of you who are in this room and you're not married, that there is a place to honor God as being a part of family. For all of us, no matter what stage of life we're in. Marriage is not the end goal. Let me just say that one more time. Marriage is not the end goal of singleness. Jesus is the end goal of singleness and marriage. Because if marriage is the end goal, then you're going to find it so disappointing when you get married. I'm just going to leave that there because some of y'all are looking at me like, that's too much truth, Pastor Nelly. So the way that God builds, right? The way that God builds is we looked at last week how he builds through the three B's. He builds as a building. He builds us as a body that's functional, alive, and living. And he builds us as the bride of which he is to return as the groom one day to take us with him without spot or wrinkle. But I wanted to focus on the building and how God builds. So when we often think about a building and how God builds, he places us as stones, as Paul writes, right, as stones of which he is the foundational cornerstone. But when we think about the Jewish context of which Jesus and later Paul would write about how he builds, it does not look as clean cut as this brick wall behind me. It looks a lot more like this. This is in Masada. I took this photo in Masada and just saw the rugged nature of how God places rough edged stones next to each other that kind of look like they fit with jagged edges. And the builder just puts them alongside one another, just like how God builds. How many of you know, spoiler alert, you're not perfect. You're not perfectly square. I don't care how many times you go to the gym. I'm talking about your character, your personality. God places us alongside one another so that he will get the glory. You are a part of what he's building. I'm not excited about that anymore. So the thing is, being a part of spiritual family is that sometimes your jagged edges are going to rub against the jagged edges of others, your rough edges, because God wants to use that situation to build his church. We are a group, a community of imperfect people, but being built up to the glory of God towards a perfect God. And the thing about how God builds is he builds so that others can take shelter in what he's building. And that's what he wants to do here at Every Nation Brisbane and Bible-believing churches all across the city, all across this nation, is he wants to take imperfect people and put them alongside one another so that he will get the glory as to how he builds. Let's look at this thought of how he builds, right? He doesn't build with actual stone and mortar. He builds with people. Turn to three people around you, tell them he builds with you. He's building with people today. And I need us to understand this. If he builds with people and he joins them together, he joins them in family. I'm going to go through the Bible really quickly and just show you some examples. There are plenty more. I don't have time to go through all of them. But these are some of the ones that you need to keep in mind. When he talks about building his house, he's not talking about actually building an edifice. He's talking about building with people. So, for instance, in Joshua 24, some of you will remember this verse. Choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your fathers served in the region beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, can you imagine Joshua standing before his actual building? As for me and this building, we will serve the Lord. Is that what he's meaning there? It's not a trick question. He's not talking about the building itself. He's talking about his what? His family, his household. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for my house and I, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Let's go to 2 Samuel. I just find this imagery funny if you're talking about buildings. While there was war between the house of Saul and the house of David. Can you imagine these two buildings with swords fighting each other? Stab you in the bricks? You know, like, that's not, is the real estate agent laughing. But you know what I'm saying? Like, it's ridiculous to think that actual buildings are at war against one another. What's he talking about here? He's talking about the family of Saul and the family of David. In some versions of Genesis, it talks about how Noah and his house entered the ark. Can you imagine that? Like Noah with an actual building and like bringing it onto the ark. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about family here. Let's go to the New Testament. Some of you will know and remember this, right? For if someone does not know how to manage his own house or household, how will he take care of God's church? And he's not talking about, again, knowing how to manage the cleaning of the household and the chores. He's talking about the people within the household. How will he be able to take care of the people within his household, the church? So coming back to this thought, I need us to understand this, okay? And think about how God builds with rugged stones, putting them with jagged edges right next to each other to build an edifice of which people of all types of situations, circumstances, of also imperfection can come and take shelter. Now, last week, I ended by talking about in Acts chapter 2. How many of you remember last week? Some of you might remember I was talking about being drunk in the Spirit. I'm going to go to the end of that chapter and go to Acts chapter 2, where we see the first mention of the church post-Christ. How many of you know and remember there's, you know, when you're talking about the interpretation of Scripture, it's a flash term called hermeneutics. And when we talk about hermeneutics, we always like to go back to where things were first mentioned. And so when you're talking about the church after Christ, you go to Acts chapter 2 because then you begin to see types and shadows and models of what is to follow in terms of how the church is to look like. And so, again, look at how this starts in verse 36. Let all the what? House of Israel. Again, not an actual edifice, not an actual structure or building, but the people. Let all the people or the family of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now, the situation here is in Acts chapter 2, we read about the disciples, not just the 12, well, it was the 11 at the time. They reinstated a guy named Matthias, and they had many other disciples gathered in a room, an upper room. And as they were praying and earnestly seeking God, the Holy Spirit fell upon them in what is known now and celebrated in the Pentecost. And tongues of fire appeared above their heads, and they were able to pray in other languages and tongues. And so as they were doing this, the power of God came upon them. And Peter, who was known to have foot and mouth disease before Jesus died, was timid, and actually Jesus found him back to his old occupation. He was fishing. But then Jesus says to him, hey, remember the calling. I've called you to take care of my sheep. And then he ascends to heaven. He says, I'm going to give you my Holy Spirit and power to be my witnesses. And so what happens is Peter, who's all timid and kind of shy, you know, that guy, he steps out and preaches this bold message from Joel chapter 3. And he preaches this way. Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. That sounds like some boldness. That sounds like something you should say if you're sure. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart, and you're to blame. And said to Peter, thank you, all my 80s children coming out. When they heard this, they were cut to the heart. How many of you know if your family, you can communicate with truth, right? And because they were family, he could cut to the heart with what he was saying. And said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? So when he's cut to the heart, there's conviction that fell. You see, and I want to mark this down, okay? Because what we're going to look at is the first church, and we're going to look at basically our approach in 2019, what is prevalent in Australian, particularly urban Australian society, like Brisbane, right here in the CBD. We have a tendency to be more like customers when we enter into church settings and not family. Is that okay? Is that all right? Is it all right if we bring some truth here based on the scriptures? Okay. So I need you to, like, for those of you who have a digital device, please shut off Facebook and take some notes, because this will be a good checklist for us to follow here. See, based on this, we can say, therefore, family receives correction from family. Customers receive it as long as it suits them. Cut to the heart again, Pastor Nelly. This is only my first point. And again, I'm just preaching it from the Bible as to what happened there, right? And it's hard. Like, you know that family tell the truth. You know, how many of you have a mom that will tell you the truth about your waistline? Yeah? I had an uncle straight up tell me the other day. He said, you know what, Nelly? Some people lose weight, but you just seem to find it all the time. I'm just like, thanks, Uncle. See, the thing about family is I can't disown him. He's attached by blood. It's like, that's it. I'm offended at you, Uncle, but you're still my uncle. Bang. Family receives correction from family. And customers receive it as long as it suits them. So stick around as long as it suits you. Oh, preach, Pastor Nelly. That's good. That's good. Good word, Henry. Good work, Mark. That's a great word, Pastor Tina. Oh, that's a great word. But then when it hits and cuts through your heart, you're at a point of choice. Is this family? Or am I going to stick around? Or am I a customer here where I, you know, wasn't really planning to shop for that word? So I'm going to shop somewhere else? Let me tell you something about receiving feedback. I believe that there's truth in all sorts of feedback, even from the sources of feedback that you don't want, but you have to have certain levels of security by the grace of God to be able to receive feedback. But the deepest kind of feedback, I was once told by one of my mentors that the greatest way to discover the best feedback is to think through this question. If your house was on fire, that person that critiqued you, would they run into the fire to grab you or your family? Or are they going to sit there and point at the fire and say, I told you not to play with matches? Because that's how you're able to discern the deepest level of correction that comes. Because those who truly love you will correct you. And I want to speak culturally here too, because there's certain cultures here of which some of us are so fearful as to what people might think because we offer that feedback. Find a way to speak the truth in love. The weight of the correction that you give will always be in accordance of the bridge that you build with that person. If the bridge of that you build with that person is strong, it will be able to carry the correction that you have to give. And then it continues here, Acts chapter 2, verse 38. And Peter said to them, remember, he was timid Peter before, but now he's bold. Now repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. See, families repent and forgive. Customers get and go. Just get what I need and go. Whereas families, if you've done wrong or you've done wrong towards somebody, you'll know, man, this relationship is important. Here's a principle that I like to live by. Again, one of my mentors said this to me and it's stuck in my heart, is that to always choose relationship over opportunity. God is the author of opportunity and opportunities will come. But if it is connected to you losing relationship that God has put in your life to build you. Now, some of y'all need to lose some of those relationships, but like, you know, the relationships of which God has called you to build with, but then for some reason you're just contemplating whether to take an opportunity that seems good, but not necessarily God, then you need to consider whether that's what God is bringing in your life. Families repent and forgive. Customers get and go. For the promise, this is, again, moving forward, for the promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord calls to himself, or Lord God calls to himself. See, I love this about God. It's not coincidental that Jesus, in addressing God, would always call him what? Father, right? Because the way that he approaches God is as Father. And the way we get to, because of the cross, approach God is as Father. Check this out. Families are called by the Father who loves them to stay with him. And customers stay as long as it's convenient. There's not that sense of building deep relationship. It's more come in, clock in my time with God, whether it's at life group or in a service like this or the campus service, wherever, and then I'm going to bounce. There's no deep connection. Whereas families are called by the Father who loves them to stay with him. How many of you had parents that told you, as long as you live in my house, whatever. And the last week I talked about him. I want to touch on this again. Like, as long as I, yeah, forgive the, that's a lot of Dax wax in that hair there. I think that day it was, I ran out, so I used Vaseline, but, or Vicks Vapor Rub for the, the Islanders in here. Yeah, Vicks Vapor Rub is amazing. Hey, holds your hair and cleans your head. It just clears it, man. Like, I hope it holds. Just make sure it doesn't rain. Otherwise, my eyes. But if I ever said to my dad, you know, or how many of you live in a household, if you ever said to your dad, no, I'm going to do this my way, you'll find your teeth on Tuesday, right? Like, And for some of our cultures here, some of you all are like, oh, that's so violent. What are you talking about? Happy Cinco de Mayo for all my Espanoles and my Brazilians here, by the way. But like, think about it. When you're in the household of the Father, there's deep connection where you know how to operate there because of that relationship that you have with the Father, right? If I ever told my dad or treated my dad like I'm a customer and he's the owner of the store that is our home, it would not look good. I would cease to be your pastor because I'd be dead. But that's the sort of atmosphere that God's trying to create here. Is he's trying to create one of deep relationship of family. Now, some of y'all are relatively new here. I get it. But it's a matter of asking God, God, have you called me to be a part here? I know the people here are imperfect. That pastor is definitely imperfect. I've already counted how many mistakes he's made with his English today. But am I called here to build deep? There's not a perfect church in the world, just in case you're looking for it. There is not a perfect church. There's a perfect church for you. If you're looking for a perfect church, the problem is when you find it, it won't be perfect because you're there. And I love you, by the way. See, cuts to the heart, cuts to the heart. Peter continues, and with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, save yourselves from this crooked generation. So those who received the word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. See, the thing is about the spiritual family of God is that God is wanting to add, wanting to bring in people. It's not a closed click. And I want to encourage you, guys, one of the greatest fertilization grounds of closed clicks is one of the greatest ways you can fertilize closed clicks is through gossip. It's amazing when you start to think outward, start to think evangelistically, start to think of how you can be missional in thinking about, man, my life group, I don't want it to just be us. I want to open it up to people who need to hear this gospel that's so precious to us. God wants to add to his family. But the moment we start closing things up, that's the cultivation ground for gossip to start. And then before you know it, things start to dissipate. Things start to break up. God wants to get our minds and our hearts off of ourselves. Yes, God will take care of us. Yes, God will help us and heal us in those environments. And there's nothing wrong with cliques, but keep those cliques open. Because cliques are families, right? But there's an openness to what God desires to do in bringing new people alongside yourself. I just sense the Holy Spirit moving me in this direction. You can swing on one or two directions of a pendulum where you become so closed that you're not open to new people, especially new people that don't look like you, don't speak the same language. You become so closed off where things become so monocultural, monogenerational, that the moment you get offended, you become so open that you're disconnected to the family because offense has set in. And so I really want to encourage you that is a tactic of the enemy. He wants you to be so closed, and in your closedness, you become what we call belly button lint gazers, right? You start to just notice little things about the people that you're super close to, but that's all your focus. You're not thinking about those who are around you that need the precious gospel that you carry. And then what ends up happening, that's always the cultivation ground for offense. But if you're missionally minded, of course there's opportunities for offense. But if you're so busy about the work of the gospel, and I mean busy in a good sense, not busy as in driving and striving, but I mean just preoccupied with thinking outwardly, there is no time to sit there and allow gossip to be cultivated. So one of the great weapons against gossip is be missional, be evangelistic, think outwardly. Because the moment we start to look around and compare ourselves to one another is the moment that we start to cultivate things like gossip and malicious talk. Is this okay? As the pastor of this house, I want to shepherd you well. And so I really feel like this is for somebody in here. And this is for me too, that I want our church to be open. I want our church to be missional. There are going to be church plants out of this church in our city and into other nations, but it's going to take us not settling. Let me tell you something. As a family, we need to decide, and this will speak to both your physical family and your spiritual family. We need to decide from the get-go. My heart, my spirit, by the grace of God, is an offense-free zone. I will not be offended with my family. That if I have an offense with my brother or my sister, I will sit down with them and we will work this out because we're family. See here, where we were added, they were added about 3,000 souls. See, in God's family, you're added, but you don't add customers. Customers actually subtract. They don't add. See, as spiritual family, like, I don't know about you, but growing up in the household that I grew up in, like, of course, there's like a gradient when you're a baby. When you're a baby, right? Yeah, you get everything changed for you, fed. I mean, some of us still wish it was like that. But you get to a certain age, and the gradient moves up. The older you get in age, the more responsibilities come your way. Like, if I was like 25 at home and I did not do the dishes or clean my room, I'd be cleaning up other things like my teeth off the ground. Like, I would, because I own the house, because I am family, because I'm of a certain level of maturity, I should take responsibility for the house. But when, you know, when we carry a customer mentality, even no matter how long we've been a Christian for, personally, you don't understand. I have been a Christian for 30 years. See, I know a lot about churches because I've been to so many of them. And so I'm going to tell you, by the grace of God, see Lord, I'm going to tell you how you can do this church better. See, they don't bring addition in terms of an attitude of servitude in the house. If I spoke that way to my dad, oh my gosh. Let me tell you, Father, I have been to my friends' houses and I've come back to your house. And I'm here to tell you how to run your house. First of all, my dad would slap that accent out of my mouth. Sorry, my dad is not abusive, by the way. he's in heaven now. He's with Jesus. How dare I would speak to my father that way? If God is adding you, and again, it's God's church. He's the one building the church. It's not about me as the pastor. It's not about our pastoral team. It's if God is adding you to this church, this is the way we walk as spiritual family. Some of us are visiting from other churches, and that's great, but you need to be added as spiritual family there. Be faithful there. See, you know, we don't want to create a service where it's like, come. Everybody's called to come. Like, everybody is welcome, but not everybody is family. You with me? It's just like my house and my house with Tina. Like, we welcome anybody to come over. Bring a plate, but, you know, come over to the house. Come and hang out with us. But not all of us carry the surname Artinga. We're family. Check this out. I love this. This is God's attitude towards family. In Psalm 68, He is the father of the fatherless. Wow. And protector of widows is God in His holy habitation. God settles the solitary in a home. He leads out the prisoners to prosperity, but the rebellious dwell in a parched land. God doesn't desire for us to dwell on the outside. How many of you had parents that were like, if it goes past a certain hour, or, you know, like maybe you come from a family that had dinner at home together. If I wasn't home by a certain hour, I would, you know, this is before cell phone. They would send smoke signals. I don't know. They would get a hold of me because they were concerned about where I was. This next comment's going to strike a nerve. And I say this in love. I was sharing this with some of our leaders out south. See, when you're doing other, like when you're at work and somebody calls you, because you're not at work, or when you're at the, you know, like maybe you're part of a social netball team and you don't show up for the practice, there's no offense if, you know, someone calls you, hey, where were you for? Sorry, I couldn't make it today. I've got a cold, or, you know, I sprained my ankle in training. But it's amazing how in church, and I, you know, again, I'm not speaking to anybody in particular, because if I didn't show up for church, you'd be wondering where I was. It's just like family, right? Like when it's dinner time, and yeah, you know, in Samoa, you know, Samoan tradition, lunchtime is very important on a Sunday. Some of y'all are about to roll up into that after the service. We have a thing called tonai, and it's where you eat enough food on a Sunday to carry you through the rest of the week. See, and everywhere else you eat till you're full. In Samoa, we eat till we sleep. And so If you're not at home for tōnai, everybody's wondering where you are. Why? Because they love you and you're a part of the family, right? Like, in essence, like, sure, they'll show their love to you in a different way if you don't show up. But here's the difference when in church, and again, I love you and I'm wanting to just speak to this. When somebody is not around and then your life group leader texts you and says, hey, man, hope everything's okay. Is everything okay? Oh, don't go looking for me. I haven't lived, you know, like this offense rises up. How dare you look for me? I was, you know, like I can't win. The life group leaders can't win, right? Because if you text them, they get offended. Why are you texting me for? What are you looking for me for? I'm not like missing in action. I'm not leaving the church. I'm like, dude, I just wanted to know how you're doing. And then when you don't text them, they're like, oh, the pastor doesn't care about me. The life group leader doesn't care about me. I'm like, what do you want me to do? I love you. I'm trying to look out for you. It's the reality of it. See, the attitude of this father to the fatherless, right, is that when the prodigal son took off, he was waiting for him to come home. He's like, man, if I had cell phones in this day and day, I would be calling him and texting him, man, I love you, son. You're always welcome home. But it's on their own choice, their own volition. When you are spiritual family, you will fight for those relationships. And I'm willing, look, I am willing as your pastor, and I want you to hear this because my heart is not to judge you. That's on God. In terms of, well, I didn't show up for church, so minus 1 point. Like, I don't keep a record of that rubbish. I'm genuinely trying to look out for my flock. I'm genuinely, as a spiritual father and a big brother to many of you, trying to look out for you. And that needs to be the attitude of us as a spiritual family. It's not just me and Tina. It's all of us as leaders and life group leaders and friends. That's what friends do, right? That's what family does. If you don't show up for dinner, if you don't show up for church, then we're looking out for you. Here's something that can help you. Why don't you tell us? You can't make it. Am I supposed to prophetically read that you got a cold? So, because what ends up happening is you get offended that people have to follow you up and see how you're doing. Because as a family, if I did that to my father and didn't tell him where I was going, I would come home and find my bags outside. It's like, oh, you obviously got another family somewhere else. Go to that family, see how they care for you, huh? Oh, I love you guys. This is more of a family talk. I hope you're getting that. And in church, again, I know a lot of people are guests here. This is how it should be as a part of the body of Christ, right? In your church. Look, if you're not called to be in this church, find a family. Find where God is calling you to be. Not one that suits your needs, but that one that's perfect, the perfect family where the craggliness of your rock fits so that you can walk in relationship with those people. I will be the first to admit to you, I'm not a perfect man, but I'm walking in an attitude of surrender to God and an understanding that God has called me to lead you as a people, and that whoever God builds with here as a family is what God desires to build all over the city through other churches as well. But what has happened in modern day Australia is we've become so consumerist in our approach to God. It's amazing how some of the biggest churches in our city and in our nation are just shepherd them in, get the production, get a little touch of the Holy Spirit, and then go out not connected deep in relationship. When it's these sorts of relationships that are going to transform the city. It's that sort of church that operates by the grace of God, that we're walking together. We will journey together for the long haul. It's not about getting like a quick fix. It's about, man, let's celebrate all the milestones. And when you go through the grieving of whatever process you're walking through, even if it's imperfect, look, I'll fight for you if you call this home. I'll fight alongside you. If you're part of this spiritual family, we're going to fight for relationship. It's not disposable. I didn't expect that many amens on that. And that's okay. Because this is the revelation of the Holy Spirit where God begins to draw the line and say, man, you know what? I'm not addressing whether this is your spiritual family or somewhere else is your spiritual family. What I'm addressing is our attitude towards church is that we become so much like customers Or I like the worship better here. Or I like the preacher better here. Or I like the preacher, you know, really good. But then until he started preaching that word on spiritual family, then I was wondering if that really fit. Is that you, Holy Spirit? Not really. I don't know. And your temperature of whether you receive from what the Holy Spirit is doing is more dependent on what you feel like your needs are rather than what God wants to speak into your life. Check this out. This is another mark of family. It says here, and they devoted, everybody say devoted. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship. Just marinate on that. Devoted themselves to fellowship. How many of you know it's a fight to fellowship? It's a fight to stay joined in relationship. Distance, time, weather, the Broncos. Golden State Warriors going to win the championship anyway. I saw it in the future. Like, I know they're playing right now. Stop checking the score. But they're devoted to fellowship. And not just devoting time to it, because how many of you know you can get together but not really be together? Right? Being present in that time of fellowship. Devoted themselves to fellowship and the breaking of bread. Hallelujah. Food is involved. It's biblical. And the prayers. Check it out. Family are devoted to learn and eat together. And customers just drive through. If your Christianity, my brothers and sisters, if your Christianity looks like this, then you are missing the point of how God joins us as a church, or how God joins you as a church to wherever he's called you to be. And check this out. And awe, everybody say awe. And awe came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. There's a celebration that happens about how God awesomely connects people and miracles start to take place. Right? Families celebrate God's awesome miracles together in thankfulness. Look around this room, guys. Look, I know you've been sitting for a while. Stand up real quick. Look around this room and think about how many people around this room are not like you. Just think about it. Let me ask you this question. Look up at me really quickly. If not for God, would you fellowship with 80% of the people in this room? 90% maybe. No, right? Yes or no? 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 Yeah, take a seat. Some of you are like, no, because I'm amazing and they are different. See, families celebrate God's awesome miracles together in thankfulness, where customers buy the t-shirt and post it on Instagram. Hashtag blessed. What you saw when you looked around this room is a miracle. Different nations, different generations, all worshiping the same God together. That's how God joins people together. As family, there's different gifts in this room. There's different strengths in this room. There's different parts of this city in this room. And that's what the kingdom of God is going to look like. If you prefer more of a monocultural, monogenerational experience, you're not going to like heaven much. Chances are the worship in heaven is not going to be the genre that you like too. I'm not really feeling it unless I see like 10 guitars up here. And somebody with skinny jeans and a V-neck that comes down to their belly button is leading me in worship. That's how I enter the presence. Can you worship God when the music doesn't sound the way you want it to? When your favorite preacher is not preaching? When the worship team is not able to sing because, you know, something happens logistically here and everything cuts off, will you still be able to worship? Because that is what family does. We keep rolling because we're family. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. Uh-oh, now we're meddling. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing all the proceeds to all as any had need. See, families share generously. Customers look to get the most for the lowest price. It's like, man, I'll come and receive. I'll come and sing. He is Lord. He is Lord. He has risen from the dead and he is Lord. Now it's time for the offering. He was Lord. We can't afford. Why? Because we want to get everything that we can as long as it's free. Always that dude, like the seventh time they've come and still trying to rob everybody at the gift services counter, trying to get everything that they can. But then when it's time to give, customers don't. I'll tell you something, man. A lot of criticism comes from people that don't sow. You probably noticed that about, you know, when you run anything, I'm not just talking about church. Like people come along to an event that you run, and there's always going to be people that aren't as committed, but they'll pipe up about everything that's wrong. Oh, your cakes are stale. Your music's too loud. Your music's not loud enough. They give a lot of feedback, but they don't give. Not just to the church. I'm talking about to one another, like being generous to one another. Psalm 1, we call that ai-u. Everybody say ai-u. Turn to somebody and say, are you ai-u? And Tagalog, curry pot. Diba? Are you curry pot? Not curry pot, mate. Come on. Curry pot. Check it out. And day by day, not just Sundays, not just when it's convenient, but day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, not ai-u and curry pot hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord, and there's that word again, added to their number day by day. Everybody say day by day. See, walking as family is day by day. You walk every day as family. It's not that I can choose my surname on a Tuesday. It's like I'm an Atinga on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. Not really feeling it. Cheap Tuesday. So I'll change my surname to Sanders because that's the colonel. And then Wednesday I'll come back. You know what I mean? You don't change stripes when it's family. Your family day by day. Everybody say day by day. Like every day, your family. How many of you know, like, think about your family. Some of you are like, why? Like, you don't get to choose when you're not. Can you imagine talking to your mom and dad saying, you know what, mom and dad? On Wednesdays, I'm going to have a day off from being part of the family. Again, my dad would say, you can have as many days as you want off because you're not going. Like, we're family through and through. Families love and do life deeply every day. Customers wait to register for the next big thing. I'm not saying that registering for things is wrong. In fact, we're excited for those of you who are registered for Freedom happening this Saturday. That's going to be awesome. But again, it's done within the context of strengthening spiritual family towards Christ. Families love and do life deeply. Do life deeply. Look, ask God for the grace to trust people again. And ask Him who He would lead you to trust and to build with. Try and ask God for, examples of people who carry the fruit of what you want to see in your life and build relationships with them. Here's the question I want to ask you. And we're going to break up into small groups and get into discussion. And we are going to, as a spiritual family, partake in communion today. Because Jesus laid His life down for us. That's the attitude of family. I will gladly lay my life down for my spiritual family. And this is what Jesus did for us. So I'm going to pray, and then in just a moment, we're going to get in groups about 3 or 4, and we're going to ask ourselves this simple question. Are we family or are we customers? And we can be as honest and open as we want. No one is allowed to judge anyone in this room, okay? And when you answer this question, for those of you who may be visiting from other churches, talk about your attitude towards your own church, okay? But if you're a part of this family, just begin to chew on some of those points that I gave you. But that's the reality of the question I want to ask you today. Are we family? Are we customers?
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at ianbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.